Okay. Ben and Heather McCoy have someone they would like for us all to meet this morning, first time visitor. So whichever one of you, both of you standing up and, oh, good. Well, it's great to have Jane and Sage with us. So great to see you guys. And how's the sleeping going at night? Terrible. We have an honest man. Okay. All right. Wonderful. We've prayed for you guys a lot. Great to see you this morning. All right. We're going to be saying goodbye to a family in the second service. The pals usually attend second service. So Logan and Haley Pals and their three kids have been with us for probably 3 or 4 years. And some of you have probably gotten to know them. They're moving to Tucson, Arizona for Logan's latest posting at Davis Mountain Air Force Base. So we're going to be praying for them as they leave San Antonio. And welcome to the Julius family. So great to have you guys be a part of the membership here. Welcome. Let's go to the Lord and pray now. Father, thank you so much for your great love, your presence here, your presence in our lives. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord. You've done great things. And as Jake was reminding us, you even honor us. You dignify us by inviting you to be part of what you're doing here in the world. We pray for the pals. And as they move from San Antonio on Tuesday, pray for uneventful travel, delightful, smooth roads all the way, and a great arrival in Tucson. Father, please help them as they make adjustments to full-time jobs for Logan and for Haley, adjustment for their kids in daycare and schools, in neighborhoods, and then please plant them in a church where they can know and be known and serve and be served. Thank you for them. Pray for them. Bless you, Father, for the way you're at work in our church and in powerful ways. You're doing the kinds of things that only you can do. You're touching lives. You're repairing relationships. We praise you for that. We ask, Father, for Rebecca Garza as she recovers from serious back surgery. Please bring her all the way back to recovery. And so we lift her up in the mighty name of Jesus and pray that faith will grow in her own heart as she sees you at work. In what we're going to be exploring today from your word, Father, I pray that you would open all of our eyes to the beauty and the power of what your word has to say to us and help all of us who are here take a next step with Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. So we called him the Big Fundamental. That was Tim Duncan's nickname during the time that he played for the Spurs. And over the course of Tim's career, he began this way and just improved. He became a virtuoso of basketball's basics. And that virtuosity of the team as a whole, but mainly Tim, was the foundation for the Spurs' success for 19 straight seasons, 5 NBA championships. Then there are some of the current superstars who have not at all abandoned the basics of basketball, but they have built on them. Guys like Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, and yes, I'm going to try, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. I can say it better fast the second time. These guys just have acrobatic athleticism. They take shots from everywhere, all over the court, insane passing ability. And building on the fundamentals, building on the foundation of basketball basics, they've changed the game in many ways by what I would say outside-the-box virtuosity. So in basketball, you can make great impact both by focusing on the fundamentals and by focusing on outside the box. What we're going to see this morning from the New Testament is that believers in Jesus are invited to make great impact for God by serving in fundamental, essential, basic ministries and in outside the box ministries. So in the last several weeks, we've been looking at time-tested biblical truths that are especially fit for our own times, for these days. And we've thought about things like the inspired Word of God and its continuing relevance, and going deeper than surface-level relationships, and prayer, and last week, prayer and impact disproportionate to size, what God wants to do. This week, we're going to look at another time-tested truth. Our focus this morning is on God's desire and God's plan for each of us to be on mission for Jesus. We're going to see and celebrate one truth, and that is that God wants all of us who have come to know Jesus are going to be involved in serving Jesus. The crux of this message is based on a comment that the Apostle Paul made about one of my favorite Bible characters. And Paul made this comment near the end of his letter to the church at Colossae. He's wrapping up the letter, and he makes some concluding well wishes to friends there. And then in a very individualized message to one man, he talks to Archippus, or talks to the church about Archippus. So Colossians 4, verse 17, tell Archippus, so imagine you're Archippus sitting in the church listening as Paul's letter is read, tell Archippus, see to the ministry which you have received in the Lord so that you may fulfill it. Now this is only one of two places in the whole New Testament where Archippus is mentioned. The other place is in the short letter that Paul wrote to his friend Philemon, and there Archippus is referred to as our fellow soldier. So all we really know about him is that he was in the church at Colossae, and he was a faithful follower of Jesus. We don't know anything else about him except that Paul mentions here in Colossians that he has received a ministry in the Lord. And we wonder, well, what was this ministry? In one of the books on my bookshelves back in my study, one author suggests that he gave pastoral insight or pastoral leadership to the church in Colossae, to which we say, maybe. There is zero biblical data to back that up, but maybe. And then I've got another couple of scholars who believe that he could have been an evangelist, to which we also say, maybe, because there's not anything in the Bible that suggests that. And it's surprising, but the Bible purposefully leaves Archippus' ministry undefined. The word used to describe his ministry is a word that is often translated simply service. It's not what we would call a stained glass word, like formal, official, liturgical ministry. It could refer to something like preaching, or it could refer to evangelism, or it could refer to shepherding or mopping floors. It could be anything. One of the more honest books on my bookshelves says, it is difficult to be precise as to the particular form of ministry which had been committed to Archippus. And I'll go you one better. It is impossible. It's not just difficult, it is impossible to know what Archippus' ministry was. Now, I'm confident that Archippus knew what Paul was talking about, and the church at Colossae knew what Paul was talking about, but those of us after the first century, we haven't had a clue. He might have had a ministry among the poor, maybe among the slave classes, maybe he served lepers or the aristocracy, or maybe he taught young converts or was a teacher in the church. Could have been anything. But Paul told Archippus, this faithful soldier of Jesus, that he was to fulfill this ministry he's received in the Lord. And we wonder about, you know, what was the tone of this? Is this a scold? Is this a slap on the wrist to Archippus? Come on, man, you've received a ministry in the Lord. Let's get after it. As if he's not making any progress in fulfilling this ministry. Or is the tone affirmation? And tell Archippus he's doing a great job. You know, way to go, brother. Just keep on keeping on. You can do this thing. We don't know the tone, because that doesn't come through in the writing. The verse is provocative. raises more questions than it provides answers. And this one comment is the launch point for everything else I'm going to say this morning. Paul's comment gives voice to one of a few select Bible truths on which I hang my hopes that this current season in which we find ourselves might be one of the more or maybe the most impactful our church has ever had. And here's the idea. If Archippus, a man who's only mentioned twice in the New Testament, received a ministry from God and was urged by Paul to fulfill it, doesn't it follow that every believer in Jesus has received a ministry in Jesus from God and needs to see to it that it is fulfilled? I mean, if Archippus received a ministry in the Lord, why not us in 2023? Why not all of us at Northwest? Why not you? Why not accept the idea that Jesus has a position for you to play, a role to play on his team, a ministry to fulfill? It's quite overwhelming to think that Jesus has a work for you to do, but he had a work for Archippus to do. Why not you? As we spend these next few minutes together, I want to speak from Scripture about ministry generally and some ideas that spring from this idea that you and I are direct descendants of our older brother in the faith, Archippus. Now first, we're going to move from Paul to the Apostle Peter and listen to something Peter has to say about the way we are to self-identify as followers of Jesus. Peter speaks about this in his first letter. And when Peter's writing to his readers, and we are his readers today, he says, this is the way I want you guys to think about yourself. So 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he's writing to this group in the first century, and he calls them together a priesthood, each one of them a priest. So it is perfectly appropriate for us to take that same identity and to identify ourselves as God's priesthood and each one of us as priests to God. And when we speak of believers in Jesus being priests to God, we mean three things, and this is one of the bedrock truths of the Protestant Reformation, the priesthood of all believers. And the first one is that all of us can pray directly to God without any human intermediary. All of us are equipped by the Holy Spirit to read Scripture and understand it for ourselves without a church authority. And each one of us has a special call to ministry. The idea that those who belong to Jesus are priests to God comes right out of Scripture. It's 1 Peter 2 and several other passages as well. So I am a priest to God, and therefore I am seeking to fulfill my ministry. I have a pastoral ministry. But it is just as true that you have been appointed a priest to God, and you also have a call to ministry. As a priest, fulfilling priestly ministry means that you are serving God using your own gifts and passions by serving others. You're serving others in Jesus' name. That's the way you serve God, and that's priestly ministry. And there is nothing in the world like knowing that you can be lovingly involved, up close and personal, involved in pressing Jesus' mission into the people you love and pushing his agenda forward. What a privilege. There's no life like the life given to Jesus' mission. God wants to deploy everyone into that mission. And we today make a very dangerous, invalid distinction between Christians when we call some ministers and some not. All are ministers. It's part of what it means to be a priest to God. And in Christ, there are no mission nobodies. In Christ, everybody is a mission somebody. So what Paul said to Archippus, or what he told the church to say to Archippus, he says to every one of us, see to the ministry which you have received in the Lord so that you may fulfill it. Now, just a word about how this usually happens, that someone moves from coming to know Jesus to being fully engaged in ministry, because it's usually not an overnight thing, unless your name is the Apostle Paul. So a new believer will start attending a church, and attending a church is a really good thing. You're not surprised that I would say that. So I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad you're here this morning, whether you're a regular attender, recent attender at Northwest, or just recent attender to church generally. And I'm glad if you're viewing online. If online is as close as you can come to attending, I'm really glad for all of our online attenders. But attending is not the end goal for the believer in Jesus. A lot of famous people have said, 80% of success is just showing up. Well, maybe for some things, but not for the Christian. Just showing up is not mission accomplished. It's not 80% of mission accomplished. Jesus has way more on his heart for you than that. And part of that more is that after you come to a church for a while, you start developing relationships and start developing a web of relationships and get to know people, and you're plugged into community and you grow as a worshiping disciple. And you enter fully into the time in our worship services, for instance, when we're singing, when we're praying, when we're taking the Lord's Supper. And you're establishing friendships here that are starting to overflow into your Monday through Saturday life as well, and you're getting to know people, and all of this is you taking your next steps with Jesus. It's a delightful journey. And that order can often be reversed, and it often is reversed, where someone will come, they'll meet somebody who's a part of our church, and they'll develop a friendship, and they'll get really connected, and then they'll come to the church. Whichever way it works, establishing relationships, entering into worship, attending, is all wonderful and it's important. But doing all of those things is not crossing the goal line. All those elements, absent service, absent serving Jesus, is not a kingdom win. So once you come to church and start taking next steps with Jesus, the church is to be your launch pad into service. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 4. Says everybody who is saved to serve. This is Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The work of ministry belongs to everybody in the church. And we don't know what that would have looked like in the first century. It would have certainly looked like serving widows and orphans and serving the poor and teaching and evangelizing, spreading the gospel. We're much more able to think about what ministry and the work of ministry looks like in 2023, because that's where we are, that we see it every day. And some Christians will mostly fulfill their mission of service by carrying out ministries that are led by the elders and staff at a church, like at our church. And if you have giftings and if you have passions to serve within the existing ministries of the church, that's great. You'll bless people by serving here. I think that Jesus loves it when people serve within the church, and the Apostle Paul would applaud it, and I'm thrilled to see the people who serve here and are engaged in ministry here. That's great. Serving in the established elder and staff-led ministries of the church is Tim Duncan service. It is basic, it is essential, it is fundamental, it's important. By your faithful service in these ministries, every week God is using you to make impact, to touch lives, to make a difference. But if we here at Northwest were to fill every single ministry slot available, and we haven't yet, by the way, so you can talk to me afterwards, but if we were to fill every ministry slot available, it still wouldn't be mission accomplished. There would be lots of us not deployed because there are more of us here than there are ministry slots available. And if we did happen to fulfill every ministry slot in the church and said, job done, we wouldn't do much in the way of reaching outside of our church to fulfill the Great Commission. You who are serving here and serving within those, not essential, those fundamental ministries, you're serving those who are here, and that is great, that is wonderful. You're providing a sturdy foundation upon which the church meets needs and does all kinds of things relationally, worship-wise. But there are so many ways that you might serve Jesus outside of the box of the elder and staff-led ministries at our church. And I just want to make it real clear here that I'm making a distinction between the ministries that are started and managed and led by the elders and staff and those ministries that are started and led and managed by you in whom the Holy Spirit also dwells. Because you might have an idea for how to serve our church in ways that never have occurred to the elders and staff. You might have an idea of how to serve those who are not here and may never be a part of our church, that never would have dawned on the formal leadership at our church. Those are Steph Curry ministries, Luka Doncic, outside the box. And both kinds of ministry are necessary and they're great and they make kingdom impact. And all of us serve Jesus in ways outside the church. It's just as a matter of course, living as a disciple, we're going to serve Jesus in our homes, we're going to serve in our neighborhoods, we're going to serve him at work, throughout our community in various ways. But the thing is, in Jesus, everybody is to be on mission. Everybody is to serve. Nobody's on the sidelines. Everybody is in the ministry game. So think with me for just a couple of minutes about the vast array of options that are available for serving Jesus. And we're going to start local, start here with the church, and then just expand out a little bit. But your primary service for Jesus might involve any of the elder and staff-led ministries in the church. And in that, you might teach, you might clean up and set up and take down, you might be involved in missions, you might care for babies, you might work with digital magic with the internet and the online stuff, you might lead a small group. The list is really long of things you might do in those ministries. And for all of us, serving Jesus here is going to involve building relationships, prayer, giving of time, talent, and treasure. And many, many people find their ministry sweet spot in serving here. So we put out a weekly program, and you receive it via email, and you're given one as you come into the worship center. I encourage you to look through that and just see some of the ministries that are standard ministries that we're offering here. And if any of them ring a bell with you, call the contact person, get in touch with them, or call the church office. We'll be happy to direct you to the right person to talk to. But there are so many other ways. And if you adopt a mindset that says, I want to serve Jesus, a whole world of opportunities is going to open up to you. And it's as simple as taking a meal to a new neighbor or where there's been sickness. That's ministry. Or giving encouragement to someone who is discouraged by lending a listening ear. That's ministry. Urging somebody you know to take their next step with Jesus. That's ministry. Visiting someone you know who is in the hospital. That's ministry. Now, the funny thing is, I know lots of you are doing lots of that kind of stuff just as a regular matter of course. You've just never thought of it as ministry. But if I understand the New Testament, when you are doing those kinds of things out of a love for Jesus, that is exactly what the New Testament is talking about when it refers to ministry, service. When Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Titus, he said this, that we, God's people, are to learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs. These are exactly the sorts of things that were on Paul's mind. Tangible expressions of love and care done in Jesus' name. Ministry doesn't have to be grandiose, doesn't have to be flashy, can be behind the scenes, can be under the radar. It's all kingdom of God size stuff. Or you might discover that there are ministries in our city that are doing the kinds of things that you'd really love to be involved with. Some for instances. Over the years, there have been a number of people who have served with crisis pregnancy centers, and they have served women in crisis pregnancies, their unborn children, and the fathers of those children. Serving in a crisis pregnancy center is a great way to show Jesus' love to people in desperate need. And you can check out your programs this morning because there's an opportunity listed where you might be able to find out how to get involved in just exactly that. Many people at our church through the years have served at military bases. We used to have more in San Antonio than we have now, but we still have military bases, and there are opportunities to show hospitality to servicemen and servicewomen at holiday seasons. You can help chaplains do their job. You can offer all kinds of logistical help that some of these service people need. So that's a great way to serve Jesus as well. There's a ministry called Destino. We don't see the McElroy family as often these days because they have moved south of town, so they're about an hour drive away, so they are not very involved in the church these days. But Gene and Heather are on staff with this nationwide ministry, part of Crew, called Destino, and its mission is to reach out to Latino, Hispanic college students. And if you think, wow, I'd like to be involved in that, I can give you Gene's contact information. He's looking for partners, and that could be a wonderful way for you to serve in Jesus' name. There are lots and lots of other ministries that are involved with serving people who are the victims of sex trafficking, certainly fostering and adoption, ministries that serve international students, Afghan refugees, and the list goes on and on and on. And if your heart beats fast to serve in those ways, give us a call at the church this week. We'll help you take a first step towards finding out how to get involved in any of these, because I want to help you serve in the area of your ministry passion. You might choose to jump on board with any of these existing ministries, or the Lord might put it on your heart to initiate something brand new. It certainly has happened here in the past, and I have long been impressed by the creativity that exists in the hearts of God's people to be salt and light to a needy world. So let me just mention one. If you've been here a while, you've heard of this, you know about this. If you're relatively new, you might not know about a ministry called Bread and Water. But Bread and Water started about 15 years ago. And it was the brainchild of some teenagers, high school and then college students, who wanted to serve some of our city's most vulnerable adults. And it was started, Bread and Water, to provide food, water, and conversation in Jesus' name to homeless men and women. And these teenagers gave leadership to Bread and Water for a number of years, and then they graduated, and many went off to different places. And then Ken Eberhardt took over leadership of Bread and Water, and he led it for several years until his health no longer allowed him to do so. And Bread and Water is no longer an active ministry here. But during the time that it was, the leaders of Bread and Water never asked the church for anything except recognition, prayer, and guidance from time to time. They did it all. If somebody wasn't involved in the ministry of Bread and Water, they were never made to feel guilty. Those who served did so because it was in their heart to serve. And our Bread and Water friends joined us on Sunday morning for years, worshiping with us, praying, learning, and growing in Christ. A number of our Bread and Water friends came to know Christ by faith. There were quite a few very memorable, moving memorial services for those who passed away. Lots of opportunities to make loving connection. But here's the beautiful thing for me. Bread and Water wasn't thought up by the elders or staff. It was thought up by you. It was created by the membership. And that's been the case for so many other ministries. We have a very active food pantry, and that food pantry was started a couple of decades ago by someone who was concerned to meet the needs of food insecure people in San Antonio. And it's currently being led by Robert and Kathy Treadwell, with assistance from Nicole, and from lots and lots of you who donate food and money to buy all the food that we give away. We give away a lot of food from the food pantry every month. And I praise God for the privilege of being able to do that. And as has already been mentioned, there is a food pantry packing party. Yes, I did it. The food pantry packing party after the second service today, which you might have a great time taking part in. Prior to 2017, Northwest had never had an English as a second language ministry. And then Jennifer Robinson approached me, approached Manuel. We had lots of great conversations. And Jennifer wanted to initiate and get an ESL ministry going, and she did. And now Jennifer leads with a great team of people. They kept ESL going all through COVID-19 via Zoom. Zoom meetings for language acquisition. That must have been tough. And now it's still a flourishing ministry serving, in Jesus' name, people who want to learn English. Just a couple more. Thomas and C.J. Howard have been attending Northwest for a long time, and 2 or 3 years ago, they expressed their desire to help people who are recovering, who wanted to recover from harmful habits. And so they meet up here on Friday nights with anybody who wants to join them in a journey of recovery in Jesus. This had nothing to do with the elders and staff starting this. Thomas and CJ did it. One more. We have a wonderful group of missionaries that we support. They serve Jesus all over the world. A couple of years ago, Arden Waldie had this idea, wouldn't it be great to connect more with these missionaries on a regular basis? So he initiated a Zoom connection every Saturday morning, first Saturday of the month, where we will often have a screen with 9 missionaries on it, and we're talking to them in various places in the world, and anybody who wants to join from Northwest can do that. It's created tremendous connection between us and our missions family. Now, these are not, by any means, all the outside-the-box, we call them unleashed ministries here at Northwest. What they illustrate, though, is that our church is shaped by the ministries that are initiated by and led by the elders and staff, and by the ministries that are started by and run by you, the members. We don't expect that all the good ministry ideas are going to come from the elders and staff. That's just not the way it works in the body of Christ. He provides you with vision, and he provides you with creativity, and he provides you with energy. And we want to get behind and cheerlead for those ministries as well. Now, if you're currently involved in in a Tim Duncan ministry, one that is staffed by and led by the elders and staff, then we know that because we keep a list. No, we know that because we know you're serving in the ministries that we're leading. But it's possible that you're involved in an outside-the-box, impactful Steph Curry ministry, and none of us even know anything about it. If you are, would you please be so kind as to let any of the elders know so that we could be praying for you and supporting you in any way we possibly could and cheering you on? And if, as you've heard me talk this morning about outside-the-box ministries, this is stirring something in your own heart about something that you would love to do for Jesus, something that is on your heart to do for Jesus, I would welcome you to talk to me or to any of the elders, again, so that we could pray for you and cheer you on in what you want to do for God. And if you would stand with me now, I would like to invite all the ministers at Northwest to stand up at this time. Yes, that would be you. Yes, that would be you. And then I would love to pray for you. Father, thank you so much that you not only saved our eternal souls, not only gave us the gift of eternal life, and blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, you have also made us priests to God. And you have called every one of us into service. I thank you for the tremendous group of servants who are standing right now and pray that you would move us all forward into greater and greater ownership of the idea that you want to use us greatly. You want to use us to make impact for you. Help us to be willing vessels, eager vessels, joyful vessels, as we serve you together. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. It's a pleasure to serve Jesus with you.